circumcision. Is that better? Can you hear me? Yeah, I get to speak on, you know, I thought about it when they said, oh, Anthony, we want you to teach on circuses. And I was like, okay, why me? But then I thought about it, you know, David Skidmore likes to use a lot of props. And I said, you know, that's probably not going to be wise. Right? But he did a great job last week, correct? Amen. Praise God, David. I love you so much. And Kelvin has been doing a great job throughout the series. Praise God for him. Amen. What a privilege it is for me to be able to share God's word and to be able to preach in all of these different series with these amazing individuals. So let's just get right into it, right? So have you ever been marked by something, right? The sermon is called Marked for Victory. You'll put the pieces together. Marked for Victory, right? Have you ever been marked by something? Think of it like, think about a driver's license. The first time you got your driver's license, you were marked as independent, right? You didn't need anybody. You can drive for yourself. And then think about when you got your first passport, right? Now you're marked as a traveler. You could see the whole world, experience some exotic places. Or maybe when you got your degree, right? The college students. When you got your degree, when you get your degree, right? You're going to be marked with a title, right? Maybe engineer, therapist, doctor, all of these titles, lawyer, right? All of these events. Or even think about marriage, right? The day that you put that ring on. You know, you're marked, right? You're marked as trapped. I meant, that's not what I meant. I meant husband, wife. Listen. One of the greatest covenants we ever had was the covenant of marriage that God created. My wife is my best friend. She is my best friend. And I say that often, I know, but it's true. So I joke with that. But yeah, all of these things redefine us sometimes and add to our identity. So now we're going to continue the sermon. We're going to go Joshua, the fifth chapter. So you're going to turn there, Joshua, the fifth chapter. And we're going to look at how this is the point where we already know the Israelites step foot into the promised land. And they're ready to conquer the promised land and claim it as their own. But God says, wait, stop, hold on. Before you do that, we need to work on your identity. We're going to reaffirm the identity that I got with you before, the covenant that we had before. So that's what we're going to look at. He stops them to tell them, I'm going to show you who you really are. But also, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, we have a covenant also. And God wants us to understand our true identity. Because believe it or not, we have an identity where we are marked for victory. That's what we are. We are marked for victory. So we're going to look at my first point. But before we do that, why don't we just go into a word of prayer right now. Let's go. Lord, open our hearts today to see our true identity that you have given us. Help us to live audacious lives with courage and confidence in you, Lord. So I just pray that you bless the congregation today. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are marked to belong, marked to belong. So before we get into Joshua, we're going to read in chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. Let's kind of like just do a summary, right? So the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they kind of lost their way. They lost their identity, right? The men that were born during that time were not circumcised, right? They didn't worship. They didn't celebrate the Passover. They lost their way, and that's the reason why they didn't get to see many of them who died in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't get to see because they were living sinful lives, right? So here we have, they're in the promised land. They're about to claim the promised land, but God says, first you have to do something. Stop. I'm going to give you the promised land, but now we have to reaffirm who you truly are. So let's look at that now. He's going to command them to do something. In Joshua, the fifth chapter, verse 2 to 3, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Now, he's not really saying again. He's saying that the new ones, the individuals who were born that were not circumcised, again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibbeth Haraloth, right? So For those who are not familiar with this this ceremony, this covenant, it's called circumcision. I'm not going to get into great details, but it is a covenant with God. Circumcision is a covenant with God. Basically, God is saying, if you come into this covenant, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my presence and my blessings. Right? And what we, the people, or the people of Israel, what they had to do was, their part of the covenant was be faithful and obedient. Right? So that's the agreement in this covenant. That's the agreement in covenants, right? So it's a spiritual agreement, relationship, right? Again, God is giving his presence and his blessings. And we, obedience, right? And faithfulness. So now we Christians, we, believe it or not, also have a covenant with God. And we, in a way, have a spiritual circumcision. So let's turn to Colossians, the second chapter, verse 11 to 12. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 11 to 12. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Right? So our covenant mark is not of the body. It's one that is a spiritual one. It's one of the heart. It is a spiritual circumcision, right? And we get that through baptism. When you confess, when you acknowledge who Jesus is, you're baptized into Christ, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus' blood washes away your sin. This is the covenant. Believe it or not, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a sign of the covenant. He's a sign. He's given to us as a sign of this covenant, which is beautiful. But it even goes a little bit further, right? Well, or think of a sign like this. You know how a great artist will always sign, put their signature, saying, "This picture is mine. I created this. This is my creation." Right? Or think of a sneaker company, and they put their logo on that. They're saying, hey, this is authentic. This is real. This belongs to us. This is the real deal, right? Well, that's why we have the Holy Spirit, because we are the real deal, brothers and sisters. As Christians, that is our sign, right, as part of that covenant that we get. And look, it gets even more beautiful. Look at this. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 15 to 16, let's read that. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, no, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. We become children of God. That Spirit that goes in us, the Holy Spirit, says, hey, now you're part of the family, right? And look how it goes a little bit further. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. This verse, lots of times the next verse, verse 16, we kind of ignore it, but listen to the power of this verse. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And let me tell you, I experienced this personally, right? This is a picture of me when I was young. I'm a cute little kid there, right? Let me say, a lot of you don't know my background. Some of you do. So I was born and raised in the poor slums of New York City. I was raised in the slums. We were dirt poor in Manhattan. And my father was very abusive. I'm not going to get into the details. My father was very abusive. And he was physically and verbally abusive. And lots of times he would say this to, as a child, he told me this. He said, you don't belong to me. I found you in the streets. I should have never brought you in the house. And I was told that many times throughout my childhood. Imagine what that does to a child when they're told that. When I was young, I felt like I didn't belong. I didn't know. I didn't feel that anyone loved me as a child. We need that from our father. And yet, I had to live with that for so many years. But let me say, this ends with on a good note, brothers and sisters, because at the age of 16, I gave my life to Christ and I was baptized into Christ. And I want to say that day, when I was 16, it was a Wednesday night. I remember it distinctly. And after the celebration, it was a quiet night. It was a quiet night. And I felt a whisper, a voice in me that said, from a different father, that said, Anthony, you're not abandoned. You're not abandoned. Just kidding. You are adopted. You are adopted. You're not a mistake. You are chosen. And I was welcomed into a real family, right? And this is what God does for, that's what he means there. In verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. That's it. That's that feeling. And I'm telling you, I know there are many people here today. And you're like on the outskirts. Maybe you're telling yourself, I don't really belong. Maybe you struggle with whether, am I really a Christian? Am I not? You know, because of my upbringing. Maybe it's your upbringing. Maybe things that were done to you. You say, oh, I'm not worthy of God's love. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, but I'm here to tell you, when you give your life to Christ, you belong. You get marked that I belong. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a mark saying you belong, but not only are you belong, you are God's chosen people and great possession. Let's look at First Peter, second chapter, verse 9. Look at this. Look how powerful this is. But you are a chosen people. Now, I want to pause for a second before we read the next part. Do you realize you are the chosen people now? You are, right? The Israelites were the chosen people. You know who's the chosen? The Christians are the chosen people. We have so many scriptures that prove that. We are the chosen. You are the chosen people. A royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. It's not the Levites anymore. We are the royal priesthood. A holy nation. We are the holy nation, brothers and sisters. Right? God's special possession. Do you realize you are special? You're his, and you're special. You know how special you are? He sent his son to die for you. You are special. You belong. You are marked that you belong to God. I hope you understand that, brothers and sisters. So here's my reflection question. I always have one for each point. What label or story from your past still whispers that you're not truly God's child? Is something whispering to you that you're not really God's child? Every now and then, don't believe it. That's Satan. That's Satan whispering in your ear. He whispers too, right? So here's the takeaway, brothers and sisters. Because of Jesus, you are not an orphan. You are owned, loved, and named by God. You belong. I am marked to belong. Repeat that. Just shout it out. I am marked to belong. Do you believe it? I hope so. Amen. You have been marked to belong. You are part of an amazing family, the family of God. Amen. But you're also marked to be free. You are marked to be free, brothers and sisters, right? So we're gonna even look at that, marked to be free. Turn to Joshua, the fifth chapter. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9 now. We're going back, Joshua, the fifth chapter, verse 8 and 9. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today, listen to these words, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. That word reproach, that means shame, sin, all of the reproach, the sin in the wilderness, in Egypt, all of that stuff of Egypt from you. So that place was called Gilgal. Gilgal, it just means roll, to roll away. So God here literally says, hey, now that you made this covenant with me, this circumcision, now that you're entering this wonderful covenant and I have gave you, now you belong, I am going to do something for you. I am going to roll away your shame, your guilt, your sins, your Egypt in your life. I'm going to roll that all away from you. You are free in Jesus. And this is the same thing for us. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Listen, you've been free, brothers and sisters. Stop going back. Stop being burdened again and again by the yoke of slavery. It's amazing what we do. You understand, when you are free, you are free. And I know lots of times we say to ourselves, but I don't feel free. I've did so many bad things, so many sins, I don't feel free. But let me tell you, it's not about how you feel. Your feelings do not define God's reality. When he says you are free, you are free. No matter what you feel, if you were baptized into Christ, you are free. We have to live it, brothers and sisters. You've been marked to be free. And we live like slaves sometimes, slaves to sin. I mean, it's kind of, think of it like this. It's kind of like someone who's released in from prison, right? They're free. They're free to go, but they just stay in the cell. They're free. The doors are open. They can go. But you know what? They're holding on to that. They're going to hold on to that all of that they're going to hold on to. Brothers and sisters, it's not about how you feel. Feelings could be deceiving. I'll give you an example of that. You know, I don't feel like I'm a senior citizen, but every day when I look in the mirror, I know I am. Amen. That better not have been my wife. No, I'm just... Right? Remember, feelings do not define God's reality. If you were baptized into Christ and you confess your sins, they are forgiven. You are free, brothers and sisters. You are free. What we have to do, I love this verse. Turn to John, the 8th chapter, verse 36. You're all familiar with this. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now John is quoting Jesus Christ is saying this. He's saying, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, I want you to know the original Greek for that indeed means permanent, complete, finished, true. That word indeed, the original Greek means complete. It is done. It's permanent. You are free. Live it. Realize it. Thank the Lord for it. Right? We have to learn, brothers and sisters, to walk away from what God is rolling away. Did you hear that? We have to learn to walk away from what God is rolling away. Some of us are chasing after and holding on to that boulder. We can look at it as this illustration. That's some of us. We just want to be under it. When God keeps trying to just take it away, he's taking away your sins. He's rolling all that shame, all that guilt, the past, whatever it is. He's rolling it away. Stop chasing after it. Walk away from what he's rolled away. Right? Amen? All right. Reflection question. What shame or habit do you keep revisiting even though Christ has already set you free from it? What are you revisiting? Why do you keep going back to the past? What are you doing? You are free. So here's my takeaway. Freedom isn't a feeling. It's a finished fact of Christ. Did you hear that? It's not a feeling. It is a finished fact in Christ. He died for your sins. That's a fact. And that's what we live on, the facts of Jesus. So we are marked to be free. Let's say it together. I'm marked to be free. Do you believe it? I hope so, because it's true. If you're a Christian, it is true. So not only are we marked to belong and we're marked, right, to be free, guess what? We're marked for the win. Woo! What does that mean? Okay, we're going to get into that. This is exciting. All right, let's go back to Joshua, the 5th chapter. Now I'm going to go back to verse 1. We didn't read 1, and this is the reason. You'll see why I saved this one. before the other ones. So here we go. In Joshua, the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, "Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites." So this is really awesome, this part. And sometimes we, even this part, we skim over. You see, even before the Israelites started fighting, before they fought any battles, God was already working. Did you see that? Don't miss that point. He's already working. The enemy's scared. God is already in the works before they even fight. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, the same is true for you. That God is working in your life. I don't know what you're going through, but in your battles in life, God is already working. He's working there. You may not see him, you may not hear him, but he's in work. That's what he's doing, right? So let's look at some of these encouraging words in Scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You have victory already. Through Jesus Christ, you have victory. You realize that? And do you believe these scriptures? Look at Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37. "No, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors." Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? "Through him who loves us." It's about God. Right? You already got the win. Right? We're just fighting these battles, but the reality is it's weird because sometimes we think it's hope and wish. I wish and I hope for victory. What you don't. You already won if you're a Christian. The victory is already there. Right? Think about this. Here's an illustration to kind of like, right? Titans. Let's say the NFL, the Titans, right? Before they even win and the playoffs. They automatically get their championship ring, right? Because they have victory. Now, okay, I know that this is a real miracle that we're talking about here with the Titans. And listen, I have nothing against, I'm rooting for the Titans. I really am because I always root for the underdog. So anyway. I probably shouldn't have said that, but. But maybe you're thinking, you know, I feel defeated. I don't feel victorious in my life. You know, I got all these struggles and I got all these problems. But this is the problem, and this is the issue, brothers and sisters. You know why this is a problem? I'll tell you why. Because that attitude, that you are fighting for victory when you should be fighting from victory. Did you hear that? An attitude like that, you're striving to win when you already won. You're fighting for victory when you should be fighting from victory. We won, brothers and sisters. Do you understand that no matter what happens in your life, we won? We got the promise of God. We got the Holy Spirit as a sign, as a guarantee. This is how we need to live. We are victorious because of Christ. And everything you're going through in life, no matter what it is, right, your battles, your struggles, your fears, everything has to line up with the truth that you're already victorious. And if you can really understand that and grasp that, think about how your life will improve. When every battle you have is from a place where I already won. I don't care what I have as an illness. I don't care about the problems at my job. I don't care about whatever it is, what's happening in America. You know what? I have victory in Jesus. You already won, brothers and sisters. Amen? So here's my reflection. This is a good scripture. Let's do this one. This is an important one. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Now, we know this one, but this is important. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So, believe it or not, that word overcome, the original Greek, means conqueror, victorious. So, we're already victorious. right? So we have to live from that. We already overcome the world. Our sins, our problems, our shame, all of that, the fears, we've overcome it with Jesus Christ. So just keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. All right, reflection question. Where is fear or discouragement convincing you that you're losing, even though Christ has already called you more than conqueror? What discouragement is convincing you? You're more than conquerors. Do you believe that? Watch those voices that we now and then hear, right? Here's the takeaway. God marks you so that way you fight from victory, not for victory. God marks you so we fight from victory, not for victory. You're already victorious. Amen. Amen? So let's say it. I'm marked to win. I'm marked to win. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. All right. So this is it. These are the three marks. These are identity, brothers and sisters. We're marked to belong. We're marked to be free. And we're marked to be victors, right? And believe it or not, this forms an unbreakable identity. Those three marks is an unbreakable identity that Christ gives us. We didn't earn it. It's been given to us. But it is our identity. That's who you are, brothers and sisters, right? So let's kind of put it all together. I'm going to summarize about the Israelites, and then we're going to finish off with ourselves, right? So church, for 40 years, they were in the wilderness, right? They come out. God stops them. He stops them because he says, hey, first I want you to belong. So you need to circumcise yourselves, right? All right, that's the covenant. But then he also says, I also want to free you. So I'm going to roll away all your shame, all your guilt, all your sins. And then he says, I'm going to mark you to win. I'm already working. And I'm going to win this battle for you, right? You just got to follow me. So, and so are you. Because brothers and sisters, you belong, you are free, and you already won. Let's say this together in a loud voice. I belong, I'm free, and I've already won. Amen. This week, walk as victors. You are marked as victory. Believe it. That's who you are. You're Christians. Amen.